Good.
What is up? And welcome back to another episode of the Wizards Podcast. Today I have a very special guest, my brother, Jason Finberg. He is assistant coach for the Marymount Saints. I'm sure if you're a Wizards fan, the local DMV area, you know where Marymount University is. Up and comer in the coaching business. Very excited for him. Very excited to come on this pod. He's got great ball knowledge. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Greg. Yes, I am a graduate assistant at the moment, but more importantly, I have the honor of being your older brother and role model. So, Gregory, it's always a pleasure to come talk Wizards basketball with you. I know it's something, you and I bond over our father as well, and not, I don't want to say an exciting year coming up, but I'm ready to dive into it. So let's do it.
Yeah, he said that he's my mentor. It's incorrect, but we'll move forward.
Say what you want, man.
Today we're gonna do a season preview. So we're gonna run through 15-man final roster that got released today. Starting five, rotations, breakout player, best rookie, biggest question mark, a bunch of superlatives and questions like that. Round it out with our record prediction, and kind of go from there. But the first thing we got to talk about is some breaking news that happened today. That's two things. One is the Wizards reached a rookie scale extension with forward Corey Kispert, and the second is they managed to re-sign guard Jared Butler on a two-way deal. So getting right into that, in terms of Corey, 4 years, 54. I put out my prediction on my last pod. I thought it'd be around 4 years, 50 million. I had some people come at me and tell me that was too high. Look at you now. I was clearly right. That wasn't too high. If anything, it was too low, because they decided to tack on 4 million more. At the moment, it's literally a $1 million less extension than Denny Avdia, who at the time, a lot of people didn't want to extend. A lot of people said it was too much. And then you fast forward like 6 months, and he probably could have got double what the Wizards got gave him at that time. After his breakout season. So again, it's another move where Will Dawkins is being proactive instead of reactive. Instead of waiting for Corey Kispert to break out like we all expect at the end of the season, he's just getting on it now. So if he does break out at the end of the season, this is going to look like a bargain deal. And even if he doesn't and he plays the same way, because he's the most consistent player, as I've said, on this team, it's still going to be a solid contract, a fair contract, a team-friendly contract. And the best thing, it's a movable contract. I don't know what the years are on it yet, but in terms of money and years, it seems like if a contender wants Corey Kispert, the money won't be an issue. So I think it kind of hits and checks all those boxes. A proactive move, get it done, get it out of the way. So I'm really excited about it. I'm curious to see what your thoughts are, Jay.
Yeah, I mean, look, I'm a big Corey fan, and I think the price point is where, his market is, a rotational guy and a high-end one at that. And, I think he's the kind of guy whose, abilities have been masked since he, almost like Wizard syndrome at this point. Like, I feel like people this year are gonna realize, like, now that Denny's in Portland, I know it's not a big market, but like, yo, that guy can play. And I know Corey can play, and I mean, you and I have seen it firsthand. He comes into the league as a shooter, and that's really all he does. And now, I mean, I feel like every time he takes the ball to the basket, like he's converting layups, he's converting and ones. And I think that's because, he's almost, I don't want to say mastered, but, the 2 foot finishing and, pivoting and, making decisions off of 2 feet. I think that's really elevated his game. And, I don't want to give away what we're going to talk about later, but, I don't know how long his services will be in DC, unfortunately. But look, I think it's a very reasonable price for him, and I think he's going to produce for us. And then, I mean, Jared Butler as well. I mean, I love that we're back on a two-way with him. He showed what he can do in limited minutes, whether that's, with the Go-Go or whether that's with the Wiz. And he definitely showed out in that last preseason game. I knew that was the kind of move when he was released, that it was like, all right, I have a feeling that he's going to be back, or, this was discussed when they did release him. But yeah, no, two solid signings. Great, great kickoff to the day.
Yeah. Well, my guest kind of jumped the gun on the Corey Kispert sign. Do you want my job? Do you want to switch?
Leave me alone, bro. Keep going.
Well, what I was gonna get to after the Corey thing is the Wizards did manage to sign re-sign Jared Butler. It was reported I think 2 days ago after the preseason game that the Wizards were gonna waive Jared Butler. And you should have seen the reaction, the uproar from Wizards fans. Like, why on earth? Number one, why on earth are you cutting a guy that is clearly your third best point guard and could play big rotation minutes and has looked good every single time you give him minutes? And on top of that, why are you doing so to keep Patrick Baldwin Jr.? Like, if Johnny Davis got cut and you would have been like, okay, like he really showed out in the last preseason game. He's gotten better. He's your number 10 pick. You have a lot invested in him. Okay, I get that. But like Patrick Baldwin Jr. is in the same boat as a Ryan Rollins. And obviously we know what happened with Ryan Rollins. Not going to get into the shoplifting thing, but they waived him without really much hesitation. And I don't know if their hand was forced, which I think it was, but clearly they didn't really care about eating his salary. When it comes to Patrick Baldwin Jr., I don't know why they're holding on to this as if he's going to turn into MPJ. That would be great, but I don't think he's going to be. He's been pretty mid, if not bad, in any of the rotational minutes he's gotten, both in the regular season, in summer league, in preseason. So to keep him because you don't want to eat his salary and in turn possibly lose Jared Butler, that made no sense to a lot of Wizards fans. Now, I am happy that they brought Jared Butler back because I think he's easily a top 12 to 13 player on this roster, but they're bringing him back on a two-way deal. It's the only way that they could bring him back while also not eating the salaries of Johnny Davis and Baldwin Jr. If you saw Mark Stein's report, the Wizards were shopping Baldwin Jr. and Johnny Davis to see if anybody would take on their contracts because they clearly don't want those guys and don't see him as part of the future. But nobody obviously wanted either of those players because they're not that good. The Wizards had to attach draft capital to them, and they clearly didn't want to do that. So in turn, the only way they could bring Butler back is on a two-way deal. I feel bad for Ray J. Dennis because like they signed him to a two-way and then just waived him. I don't know if he gets compensation for that. I mean, that kind of sucks. Like you finally make it to the league after you're undrafted, and now you're just cut after a day. But it seems like Champagne and Vucevic are locks for the two ways. Now you bring in the third two way with Jared Butler. They'll all be pretty much go-go guys. And then once you see some trades, once you see some roster spots open up, you'll see a lot more time for Vooch and Champagne and Butler to play with the NBA guys, kind of like what you saw last year when Jared Butler was pretty much starting point guard, starting games for the Wizards in March and April. So that's kind of the preview to what we're going to talk about with those two moves happening today. And that leads me to the final roster. This is the, I mean, from as far as I know, rosters are finalized tonight on Monday. And the rookie scale extension deadline is obviously passed. They re-signed Corey. So the Wizards 2024-25 opening night roster is as follows. At guard, Jordan Poole, Bilal Coulibaly, Corey Kispert, Malcolm Brogdon, Bob Carrington, and Johnny Davis. At forward, Kyle Kuzma, Alex Saar, Marvin Bagley, Keyshawn George, Rashawn Holmes, Sadiq Bey, Patrick Baldwin Jr., and Anthony Gill. And at center, Jonas Valanciunas. Their two ways are Vucevic, Champagne, and Butler. I'm going to get some people that are going to go, well, isn't Marvin Bagley a center? Isn't Rashawn Holmes a center? Look at the ESPN and NBA.com things. They're listed as forwards. So I'm going to go with that for now. But that's the final roster. Just your early thoughts on it. You know, is it really bad? What are some things that you kind of take away from that?
It's bad. Yeah, I think that's a good word for it. But I think the first thing that jumps out to me is tradable pieces. All right. And I think that's the biggest difference from last year's team to this year's team, where last year you you had Tyus Jones, so people were like, you might get some for Landry Shamet. But this year, you just look at the guys, like Valanciunas, Brogdon, Sadiq Bey, who's not even active yet. And then, I think they're now we're moving forward. I heard someone say, which is a great point, like this really is year one of this rebuild. And last year was really that teardown year where you just put the dynamite in the stadium and you got to blow it up, see what you really got, your baseline. And the baseline kind of came back like we all thought we would. This team's pretty bad, right? So they went out, the obviously three high draft picks, but again, tradable pieces now, like Valanciunas, I think, can get you a reasonable return. Brogdon can get you a reasonable return. Sadiq Bey, maybe someone like Corey, maybe someone like Kuz. Like, there are pieces now, and I feel like we're at the point where we're going to start really starting to see this thing come together. It's going to take a while, but that's my initial takeaway that, we're building. I see it.
I agree. I mean, that the person that said year one wasn't actually last year, it's this year. Sounds like a smart person. I don't know who said that. But basically, that person is spot on, like always. It is year one. Last year, I mean, you had Mike Muscala starting games for you. You had a traffic cone in Danilo Gallinari in the paint against Joel Embiid.
Yes.
That is not year one of a rebuild. That is year negative one. Like, it's not even the start. You have
Yeah.
so long to go.
No direction. Yeah, keep
No
going.
direction whatsoever. And now you're kind of starting to see the foundation being built. You're starting to see these rookies that are going to be here for the long haul. And you're also starting to see, like you said, the separation from guys of the past regime to other guys. I mean, you look at people that are still here from when Tommy Shepard was the general manager. If you go down the list, it's pretty scarce. I mean, it's Corey Kispert, it's Bilal, not Bilal, Johnny Davis, Anthony Gill, and Kyle Kuzma, and that's it. So four players of the 18 total on the roster, including two ways, are holdovers. And even when you look at those guys, I don't think Kyle Kuzma will be here past the next year or two. Corey Kispert's definitely a tradable piece, might not fit this current timeline. Johnny Davis, they were looking to trade and might even cut. And Anthony Gill is a veteran that they're here. They're keeping around to be a locker room presence. Obviously, won't be here for the long haul. So again, they're kind of making that separation from the old regime to the new regime.
Yes.
I mean, it's a good point that you make, Jay, in terms of that. And we'll get into the trades and stuff later about why we think that is the case, why we think they'll start to separate the Tommy Shepard guys from the Will Dawkins, Michael Winger guys. But in terms of roster, like Jason said, it's bad. Like it's definitely a bottom five roster in the league. I think it's a way more competitive. I'll say that. It's a way more competitive team than last year. I mean, instead of Muscala and Gallinari down low, you have Jonas Valanciunas, who is a top 15 easily center in the league. Great rebounder as well. You have Kyle Kuzma, Jordan Poole, who are still pretty solid veterans, can get you 20 points on any given night. You have Bilal Coulibaly in year two, Corey Kispert signing an extension. You have a lot more youth on this team and more exciting pieces. Brogdon obviously is a vet, but I think it's a better roster than last year, but I think it's still one of the worst. And I think it's pretty easy to say that. So branching off of the opening night roster into the starting five. The starting five, most of the last 2 to 3 years has been pretty set in stone. You kind of knew who it was going to be. I mean, last year it was, does Denny Avdia start or does Corey Kispert start? Which is crazy thinking about that now with the jump that Denny made. But I, throughout the entire offseason, was like, Denny Avdia should start. Way better defender. Still has stuff in his offensive bag. Ended up starting and had a breakout season. I think in this case, it's a lot more challenging, a lot more moving pieces in terms of who you start at what position. I'm going to give you the floor first, Jay. Who is your ideal starting five for opening night against Boston?
Yeah. At the guard, I'm gonna go with Jordan Poole. I think Corey does get his shot, start at the two. Then I think we have a little bit of a twist here. Kuzma is gonna start at the three, and Alex Saar starts at the four with Jonas Valanciunas at the five. No Bilal starting. And I know, I mean, I think I want to say that's not what I want. But I think that is what's going to happen because I hope, we don't start to see like one player's development get prioritized over another. But again, I think that's a problem with Kuzma still being here. I think Corey deserves to start now, unless you really think Bilal is, a two guard and not, a wing. You know what I mean? And he's developed real guard abilities. But, just from what I saw last year, I don't think he's ready to really take on a ball handling role, even if that's, as the off ball guard. So I think for those reasons, he still doesn't start.
I think you are delusional. I think there's no way they don't start Bilal. Zero chance. I would be willing to bet anything that Bilal is in the starting five. I think if anything, the guy that's out of the starting five is Corey Kispert. And I don't think that should be the case. I mean, I mentioned a couple weeks ago, my ideal starting five is Poole, Kispert, Coulibaly, Kuzma, and Saar. I don't, again, Kuzma being here kind of messes some stuff up because you don't know if he's going to be here for the long haul. He's been in trade rumors. He hasn't looked as good as he usually looks, especially in preseason. And again, I don't want Valanciunas to take up minutes from Saar. But again, like you saw when they did in preseason, when Kuzma was the three and Saar was the four and JV was the five, the spacing issues were so like obvious. The
That's a good
paint was just clogged. There was no driving lanes whatsoever. You didn't have the cutting of Corey Kispert. You didn't have the off-ball movement out there on the floor. Your shooting was lacking. I mean, Alex Saar had a great shooting preseason, shot 7 of 13, but like you can't expect him to shoot that volume and that efficiently in the regular season. Kyle Kuzma, I think he shot like 30% in the preseason from the field. So not efficient, never been an efficient scorer. We know Jordan Poole isn't the most efficient scorer. He's a great 3-point shooter, but if you don't have Corey Kispert in that lineup and you go with Valanciunas, your shooting is lacking, your spacing is lacking, you're clogging up driving lanes. You don't have that much individual defense out there. I mean, if you look at that lineup and you decide to start Kuzma at the 3 and Bilal at the 2, and then you go with Sarr at the 4, you have Sarr, who's a really good defender. Bilal is a good defender. I don't think Valanciunas is that great. I think Kuzma is a bad defender. I think Poole is a very bad defender. So, like, all of those things together, I think that starting lineup makes absolutely no sense. And it's also reasons why I think Bilal has to be a mainstay in the starting group. I think you need his defense. I think his shot isn't there yet. It's obviously not as good as Corey's, but his shot will start to come around eventually. But in terms of Bilal not starting, I think that's crazy talk. I think Bilal definitely starts. But again, I wouldn't mind putting him at the 3, moving Kuzma to the 4, where I think he plays the best, putting JV off the bench, and putting Sarr at the 5. But again, like you mentioned, there's just no way that when they're trying to build JV's value up, they're going to bench him and play Sarr instead, which sucks for Wizards fans. But I think early on, you'll see Valanciunas at the 5. And I guess Sarr at the 4, Kuz at the 3, Bilal at the 2, and Poole at the 1. I think that's the starting lineup I'd bet money Keith goes with. I would not do that myself, but I think that's what he goes.
Yeah. No, I mean, look, I agree with you. And I mean, it kind of pains me to even say that I don't want Bilal starting because I think, his develop is just as, important as someone like Sarr's. But I mean, I think it puts us in a dilemma. And I think it, again, you have to beg the question or ask the question, is Alex Sarr a real buy? Do we even know that yet? And how are we not going to, like, how are we going to find out unless he gets those real minutes? That's just my spin on it. But I mean, look, surplus of young talent, right? Can't get
I
upset
mean,
about
that's a good problem to have, I
it. Yeah.
guess. But I guess we shall see. I mean, in terms of that, like your rotations are going to be a lot different than mine. Again, I don't know if Keefe's going to go with a 9-man or a 10-man rotation. It seemed like last year he liked the 10-man. He liked
Yeah.
playing as many guys as possible. It's just a little tough to predict your rotations because I just don't know what it's going to be. What I can say is I'm pretty confident it'll be Poole and Bub as your point guards. I mean, Bub was always the first guard to replace Poole. He kind of manned the offense when he was in. So I think that's pretty secure in terms of Poole and Bub at the guards. Bilal and Keyshawn George, I think it probably will be your small forward tandem. I think Keyshawn, before preseason, I wasn't too confident he was going to get that much action. He was arguably the most consistent player in preseason for the Wizards. Passed the ball well, racked up assists, rebounded, shot 45% from 3 on 20 attempts. He was great. So I think that would be your tandem there. At the 4, it depends obviously who you start, but I think it'd probably be Kuz and Bagley. Again, I don't think Bagley is a center, and he played a lot more than Holmes. Was usually the first big to replace Kuz or JV down low, so I'd go with him. Center tandem, Sarr and Valanciunas. I don't know which way they go, but it seems like they like playing Sarr as a 5. I don't like that, but they like that. And then the shooting guard, you got Corey, and that's kind of where I do not know where you go from there if you want to fill that in, especially because Brogdon's hurt. So,
No, I mean, it's just funny. I'm looking at my notes here and it says Johnny question mark. It's like, really?
yeah,
I mean,
that's the
again,
dilemma you have.
I think that could be another role that we see Bilal if he's, really making this jump flourishing. Almost that, okay, I run the three with the ones, you know what I mean? But then, you can move me. I'm almost, positionless. And can play with the second units, almost like I can play with, a Kyle Kuzma at the three and so on and so forth. So, maybe it is someone like Bilal. I mean, Keyshawn's got guard skills. That's a big, guard out there as well. But same with Bub. But, I think Bub really is a true one. But yeah, no, I think there's a couple options. I just, unfortunately, I don't think Johnny Davis is one.
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking at the roster now. Like, you
Sadiq,
could
yeah, you
put,
never know, right? If you have a
yeah,
couple.
I mean, Sadiq, it's tough because, like, Malcolm Brogdon would easily slot in there. But he's hurt. He's going to be out for the first month or so of the season. Sadiq Bey is going to be out until possibly the trade deadline. They might even hold him out the entire season. When you look at the other guards in this group, it would be Johnny Davis. Like I said at the beginning, you could put Bilal at the two, but again, I'd like him to play as much as possible. I think there's a spot open for him at the three, and I think that is kind of where he'll be. What you could see is if the Wizards do Bilal at the two, Kuz at the three, Sarr at the four, and JB at the five, it's pretty easy to just say, okay, Kispert's going to be the backup shooting guard, and that all works itself out because you have a little bit more depth at the forward than you do at guard, considering the injuries. However, again, it's like, why are we keeping Johnny Davis and doing all this finagling to bring back Jared Butler and only on a two-way if you're number one, not even going to play Johnny Davis, and number two, you don't view him as part of your future? Clearly, there are some other moves that I don't know. I saw some things about keeping options open for trades. You know, Davis and Baldwin Jr. are tradable salaries if the Wizards are trying to move players. I'm just trying to rationalize it. I see you smiling at me. I'm just
No,
trying to rationalize why they did it.
I feel like, teams make trades to get better, right? And I mean, this is kind of crazy, but what team are Patrick Baldwin Jr. and Johnny Davis helping to get better?
I think it would probably just be to match salaries, but at that, like, Johnny Davis is only getting paid like six, maybe, like, not that much. Baldwin Jr. was like the 28th pick.
Cut. I mean,
Yeah, so I don't know. Clearly they have, I'm gonna trust the front office because they haven't given me any reason to not trust them. But in terms of that's our starters, our rotations. Moving on, we're gonna do some superlatives here. I think this will be a little fun. Kind of, breakout player, best rookie, all that, some predictions as we get into the season. So the first one that I wanted to ask is your breakout player, Jay. I see you have Valanciunas listed here.
yeah.
Not what I expected, but elaborate.
Might not be, the flashy pick, the shiny one per se, but I think Jonas Valanciunas is going to do the dirty work, and I think that's going to get, recognized come the trade deadline, and the contender's going to pick him up. Greg, if I could ask you, when is the last time that you didn't worry about us getting absolutely murdered on the glass?
Nay, nay.
Seriously, right? Gortat, like Nene, like we've had
Even
games come and go.
March would get bullied sometimes by the bigger centers and bullied on the glass. I don't even want to talk about Jan Mahimi or Jason Smith because they wouldn't hold their own. And then you look at Gafford, great rim protector, but again, against Embiid, against these bigger centers, it would just be chicken. Like he would get cooked. And so it's nice that, like you said, to kind of have that guy that can body up to them, grab rebounds for the best of them.
And I think, the underrated part of Valanciunas' game is, I think you're going to see him, almost facilitating or initiating a lot of offense. Like, I think he's a smart veteran player who's going to be playing with a lot of younger guys who's, going to be comfortable making plays out of the high post. And, I'm not saying he's Jokic, he's just be making these crazy passes, but this is a guy, would you trust Daniel Gafford to initiate offense? No. He catches lobs and he blocks shots. Like, this is a guy who's, pretty skilled down low in the post and can bang down there. And look, can he check an Embiid? Probably not, but can he make him think about it? Yeah. Gafford, I mean, like you just said, that's barbecue chicken. Like, it's baby food. Like, but now I feel like we got a guy who can fill that real center role. And I mean, at the same time, I think he's gonna be helping himself. Like, when you think about it, Greg, he's my breakout player because at the end of the day, when he signed here, I have a feeling that he was told, man, you're going to get the looks that you're not going to get anywhere else. The big teams might not be calling for you now. They might not be able to afford you, but we can make it happen. Come here and dominate. And dominate might be a crazy word, but produce.
It is a good point in terms of I saw the Lakers had a lot of interest in him. I saw another team like the Knicks, I think, had a lot of interest in him as well. And obviously, like, those are title contending teams that, would make more sense for a guy in Valanciunas who's entering the back part of his career. And it's not like the Wizards gave him crazy money to come here. They gave him 9.8 in year one, about 10 in the next 2 years. So for him to sign here, I think what you said is, he's going to get looks, he's going to get touches. That's why I think he is eventually going to start, because that's probably what was promised to him at the beginning of free agency when he signed. Now, in terms of getting traded, I think we'll talk about this later, but I do think he will get moved, because there's going to be a lot of people that need a center, like, Kim can, play the pick and roll, hold his own defensively, grab rebounds. And it seemed like the Lakers and the Knicks, obviously they've needed center help for the last year or two. So they make sense for JV. I don't think it's a bad breakout player. It's just not what I expected. I thought like more young guy would be a breakout player. For me, it's Corey Kispert, which is why I was really happy that they got this extension done. It's too good to be true almost, the similarities between his timeline and Denny's timeline. And the contract extension at the deadline is like the cherry on top. It's $1 million off, and he's gotten better and better and better every single year of his career. Best cutter on the team, one of the best cutters I've seen ever. Really good shooter, really consistent in terms of his off-ball movement, like I said, making other guys around him better, making the job of the point guard a lot better, a lot easier. And defensively, he's not a liability anymore. Is he Tony Allen? Absolutely not. He will never be Tony Allen. He's closer to me than Tony Allen. But at the end of the day, he's not a liability. When we go at the end of the games, I'm not doing this offense defense sub thing. I asked him at that at Media Day last year about getting taken out at the end of the game, and he told me that's the one thing he doesn't want anymore is to be in on offense and then to have to get taken out because they think he's too bad, too much of a liability on defense. I think he's began to hold his own that on that side of the ball, which is makes me a lot more confident for his breakout this year. And now I'm even more excited for the breakout because that won't cost the Wizards $100 million. It's still going to be about 13 when it kicks in. Won't have to be a headache during free agency. You lock him down. He's always going to be there as a 36, 37 plus percent 3-point shooter. He's always going to be a consistent off-ball cutter. He's going to hold his own on defense. And for those reasons, I think he's just going to make that leap, especially if they decide to move a guy like Brogdon, kind of clear out that path for him to maybe jump into the starting lineup. But Corey Kispert is my breakout player. I don't know if you have any comments on that, Jay.
No, I love Corey.
Yeah,
I just think he
enough
helps out
said.
a lot. I mean, he knows his role, and I think he plays it well. And I mean, like you said, you could tell there was a defensive improvement last year from him. But Greg, I think that was a little ridiculous to say that he's closer to you than Tony Allen. You were an okay basketball player, but
That is true. I was always the defensive liability, so.
still
All
are.
right.
But besides that, I mean, I think Corey is an example of what happens when you buy into your role. And I think, he just got what he deserved and $54 million, 54 million reasons on why it's important to buy into your role. So, yeah, no, that's all.
I'm glad you agree. In terms of best rookie, this is why I didn't put a rookie as my breakout player. I really wanted to, but I held myself back because I'm so confident in this rookie, even though he didn't have a good preseason. I'm gonna leave you on a cliffhanger with mine though. Go ahead, Jay. Who's out of the three? Who's the breakout rookie for you?
Mine is, the Flying Frenchman, Alex Saar. I know his summer league performances were not promising, but summer league games don't count. So, I mean, look, I'm glad he got them out of the way there. Am I telling you that he's going to be LeBron this year? Absolutely not. Will there be growing pains? Most definitely. But this kid is a raw, pure athlete who happens to be 7 feet tall. Is he 7'1", right?
7-1.
7'1". Like, the tools are there. The frame is there, is what I should say. And, I think he's going to make some plays this year that make people go like, whoa, whoa, whoa. I thought this is the guy who, couldn't catch the ball in summer league and, was missing layups. He still might be. And, those are definitely going to happen during the year, but it's okay. And I mean, I think him playing along side a real center like Valanciunas is only going to help him. Because, I mean, look, right now, if he's going up against, even a Cat, an Embiid, like, there's no, it's not fair. And you know what I mean? And I don't want to just throw him out there to throw him out there, like, feed him to the wolves almost and see what happens. Because, like, I think he's just going to get beat up and it's not going to end well for us. But, I think we're going to use his athleticism to our advantage. And I think he's going to show some signs this year that make you go like, whoa, this guy could be a real player.
Yeah, I also am not a fan of just throwing him out there. I understand some people like doing that, but
Look, reps are reps. I get it. And you know what I mean? He's going to learn regardless. But It's more so just a confidence thing. You got to think like this kid's what, 18, 19 years old, and you're like, hey, go guard Joel Embiid, man. And it's like, yes, will he learn? And it's like, look at what it did for Bilal, right? You know, last year guarding all these guys, like he did James Harden and Jimmy Butler, like just to name a few. But it's like, I think it's a little different when we get to that big man position. And you know, Alex Saar is just, I feel like he's just gonna get bullied every single night. Teams are gonna start picking on him. And you know, maybe he proves this wrong and he starts holding his own like Bilal did, you know, when he started proving it, you know, holding his own against these top name guys. But yeah, no, I agree. It's don't do that to the kid. Not yet.
It's more of like a strength and thing other
He's
than like
not
a
ready.
height
He's not
thing.
ready.
Yeah, he's got to get a lot stronger. He's got to get a stronger base as well. Like he's just gonna get backed and backed and backed down until he's under the basket and he's on a poster and then he's on SportsCenter and then everyone's continuing to laugh at the Wizards. That's also a side rant. Like I've the amount of trolls that I've seen on this team, like this team is bad. I don't like we don't need all of these people coming out of the woodworks to just like go in on the Wizards. Like I saw it was pretty funny, but it was some random account posted the Wizards, like let's just get this out of the way, and it was the Wizards are already eliminated from the playoffs. Like yeah, that's funny. But like the Wizards are bad. They're gonna be bad. Like let's uplift the team. Let's bring them up. Let's, you know,
Yeah.
have some, you know, fun alongside, because like this season is going to be terrible. They're not going to win a lot of games. But the trolling is actually crazy. Like, why are you trolling a team that's supposed to be bad? Like, they are terrible. Let's troll a team like the Lakers that you all think is going to be good every year and then are somehow fighting for the play-in spot. Let's do that. But that's so you I'm a star. I'm going with Bub. I wanted Bub to be my breakout player, but I wanted him also to be my best rookie, so I gave that other one to Kispert. I think Bub Carrington, on my big board, I had about 9. I thought he was a top 10 player in this draft. I say this all the time when anybody asks me, like, how good is Bub Carrington? How good is he going to be? The Wizards gave Denny Avdia a contract extension saying, we hope you break out. Denny Avdia did way more than just break out. He had a phenomenal, phenomenal season. Got better in every statistical category, was great on defense. Did everything you wanted him to do. And at the end of it, if he didn't sign for 55 mil, he could have signed for 120 mil. So you had Denny Avdia on a team-friendly deal, breaking out, forming into this two-way player that you really wanted him to be. And then you traded him pretty much so you could get Bub Carrington. That was the deal. I mean, the 2028 pick is heavily protected. Nobody really cares about second-round picks because we have 30. And Malcolm Brogdon is going to be traded pretty soon. It was to get Bub Carrington. That's how good. And it was all off one workout from Bub the night before the draft, the same thing that happened to Bilal. So clearly the Wizards saw something. Clearly Will Dawkins knows the type of player, the character, the work ethic, the potential that Bub Carrington has. And you saw it flashed in Summer League. It wasn't necessarily at that level in preseason, but I think you're going to see over time. And again, like Jason said with Sarr, it's not going to be bang right in your face right away. But over time, you're going to see this guy morph into a absolute bucket. Think Tyrese Maxey level, like a guy that can get to the rim anytime he wants, can also shoot the ball, is so quick, can defend a lot better than Tyrese Maxey, by the way. Tyrese Maxey's a little small. Bub's got a lot more size. But I think that's the player that you can see him morph into. And I think he's going to be the best. I'm not saying the best rookie when it's all said and done on this team, but I think this year he's going to show out in that backup point guard role and he's going to really flourish. So Bub Carrington for me is that rookie to look out for. Moving on from that, this is a little dimmer. What I already know your answer, but what is the thing you're most looking forward
You
to
go
this year?
first. Say
I
your.
go first.
Yeah. I'll just follow up with you because I do agree with your answer,
Okay. Well, I think no, I'm talking about the thing you're most looking forward to, not the thing you're least looking forward to, Jay.
Apologies. Yes, then I'd love to go. The thing I'm most looking forward to is the NBA draft lottery. Cooper Flagg, baby. I mean, you guys know it. Look, we're gonna have to play a lot of basketball this year, and I mean, thankfully, I just love basketball in general. So even if it's bad basketball, I feel like we're kind of used to that at this point. But yeah, I'm looking forward to the lottery. I'm hoping for some ping pong balls to pop up in my future. I kind of combined on this quote earlier. I was talking to my dad. You know, wins bring confidence, but losses bring ping pong balls. So we'll take that. But yeah, I'm looking forward to the lottery.
I am looking forward to it. I mean, you can go. Jason filmed me when the Wizards were in the lottery. That was the most nervous I've been in years. I'm more nervous than when I took the SAT. More nervous than a lot of things, because like you wait all season, you watch all 82 games of this terrible, terrible team, and you, in the snap of a finger, can just get fucked over, for lack of a better term. Like the Pistons got absolutely fucked over. And they dropped to five. And so the Wizards, I wouldn't say they got lucky. They got exactly what they should have gotten at number two. But I just, with the luck that this team's gotten, being a singular number away from Victor Wembanyama and probably 4 to 5 championships, they instead got number seven. And again, I think that last year as well, they were one away from getting number one as well. And they ended up getting number two. I just think this year they're going to be a Pistons, or they're going to get a 4 or 5. It's not as deep because last year's draft was pretty mid. This year's draft's unbelievable. Even if the Wizards get 4 or 5, I think they're going to get a franchise level player. So I am looking forward to it, but I'm not looking forward to how nervous I'm going to be at that lottery, because the Wizards just always have bad luck. For me, the day after the trade deadline is the day that I have circled on my calendar. I think it's the day that Wizards basketball will be fun again. It'll be, vibrant. It'll be exciting. It'll be all of the young guys, the rookies, the people you actually want to see play will be starting, will be playing heavy minutes. You won't have to watch them play behind all these veterans that you know won't be here for the duration of the rebuild. That's kind of the okay, we can kind of breathe. We can watch these guys develop. Wins don't matter at all. Let's just go out here, have fun, and see what these guys got instead of watching all of these older vets that you know won't be here. That's the worst part. I dreaded every night I had to suit up and watch Mike Muscala take the floor for the Wizards. That sucked. But after the trade deadline, you got to see younger guys play more minutes. And that was more fun, even if they lost every single game last February. I thought that was the most fun after the trade deadline, when you saw new guys and fresh faces come in, you saw the younger guys play more minutes. That's fun. It's not fun watching a bunch of guys you know won't be here just basically play to earn a role on another team and maybe win a title on another team. You don't want to watch that. So the day I'm looking forward to is the day that Wizards basketball gets younger, gets more exciting, and gets more fun. And that's February 7th, which is the day after the deadline. So that's the things we're most looking forward to. The thing that you're least looking forward to, this is the one you said I can go first on, so I'm going to take the
Go for it.
floor. Veterans, like I just mentioned this, but veterans taking minutes from rookies, from younger players, is a pet peeve, and I understand it has to happen. I'm not saying this shouldn't happen. I'm saying it's the most frustrating part of a rebuild. Like I mentioned last season, you had to sit there and you had to pretend like Tyus Jones was going to be here any more than 1 year. Now, I thought it would be half a year if this front office actually did what they probably should have done and traded Tyus Jones when they could, but they didn't. And you knew you had to watch him take minutes from guys like Bilal Coulibaly. You had to watch guys like Landry Shamet take minutes from your number seven overall pick, a guy that
Jeez.
could potentially be the face of your team, just because they thought they could get something at the deadline. And it's even more frustrating when it happens like they did last year, and both Tyus Jones and Landry Shamet take up those minutes, don't get traded, and just walk for free. At that point, why are we even playing them in those minutes? Why aren't you just giving them to the younger guys? The only reason they are playing is so you can build up their trade value, which is understandable. But when you fail to trade them, when you fail to capitalize on that value, they walk for free. I can't get behind that anymore because it makes no sense. No sense. So that's the most frustrating thing. You said you agreed with me. You had a little bit of a different answer if you want to talk about it.
Yeah, no, I mean, the thing I'm least looking forward to is watching 82 Wizards games. It's
You're not going to watch all 82. Really going to watch all 82?
no, but I mean, checking the scores for 82 of them.
You'll
I
follow
mean,
along for all 82 if you don't watch, of course.
oh yeah, I mean, look, will I sit down, as crazy as this sounds, will I watch 65 plus Wizards games probably start to finish this year? Yeah. But I mean, look, we love it, and you know what I mean? We're in this for the long haul, you and I. But I mean, it's gonna be a struggle. I mean, last year was bad, and I think this year is gonna be worse. So, yeah, it's gonna be a long year, a lot of ridicule hurled in our organization's direction. But I mean, again, you gotta go through the bad times to get to the good. So hopefully there's some a pot of gold and
How many on average last year?
Carolina. What?
On average last year, from the average Wizards fan, how many games do you think they like watched in full?
Well, that's an interesting question, Greg. And I don't want to go down this rabbit hole, but what is like a Wizards fan? Like I actually live, in Virginia now, and every person I ask, who's your favorite NBA team? It is not the Wizards. And like we grew up in, right near Philadelphia where, everyone's a Sixers fan, or if not, like we know a lot of people from New York, they're all Knicks fans. Like I now know people from the area, and none of them are Wizards fans. So, I think the answer to that is how many people really watch, like 40 plus Wizards games? I'd say less than, look, if you want to, like, I know there's no way to, like, get a
Percentage.
number of what the, yeah, exactly, what the fan base is. But, like, if there was, I'd say maybe less than a quarter. I mean, just because it's not an entertaining product, it's not. And I mean, you and I think, are in that rare, percentile that it's like, all right, man, this is getting a little weird. How much you are obsessed with this, but I love it, man. I wish I didn't, but I love it. I love it.
Yeah, well, you know me, like I honestly wouldn't find it like fun. I wouldn't find joy if the Wizards do be successful eventually. Like I wouldn't find as much joy if I just like didn't actually keep watching every single game. It's the
Yeah.
same thing you get on me for in NHL when I play all 82 games of my online franchise, because if I just simulate to the playoffs and I lose, I'm not devastated. I'm not defeated. It's like, okay, I can just return to the playoffs next year without having to endure losing seasons or bad trades or bad signings or
Character,
bad
man.
losses. Like, that's not fun for me. I know it's fun for you because if you lose in college football, you quit the game. But not me. I don't do that. I just like I it's the fair weather fan thing. And I talked about this on other podcasts, so I'm not gonna go all deep into it, but like I'm not gonna call Wizards fans out for not watching all 82 games. I don't even if you watch more than half the games, honestly, you're a sicko. And I'm fine. People call me a sicko all the time for watching all
Oh,
82.
yeah,
Like,
I'm a sicko.
this team is terrible. They're going to be terrible. And like watching more than half of the games in full, you have my utmost respect. I would say probably 10% of Wizards fans watched more than half the games last year in full. And that might be too high because nobody's watching, Jared Butler start games at point guard in late March. People, aren't tuning in 2 years ago or 4 years ago when Anses Pasasniks is starting games at center for the Wizards.
Yeah.
Like, it's not like that. I'm not gonna get all Wizards fans for not being the same as me, but at the same time, like, it's gonna be
I
pretty
don't
much
blame
50.
them. Yeah, no, yeah.
In most Wizards games, against mediocre bad teams, like if they play the Hawks, I'd expect it to be more Wizards fans. But like when they play the Sixers, when they play the Knicks is honestly the worst. When they play the Knicks, it genuinely feels like they're playing at MSG. Boston's going to be the same thing, and like that sucks. It inherently sucks having to sit through not only your team being bad, but opposing fans taking over your home stadium. And it's not like you can blame anybody in the Wizards fan base. Like, why would I pay top dollar, especially because the tickets are pretty expensive, the food's really expensive. Why would I pay that kind of money to drive into DC and watch this team get blown out night in and night out? Now, if they're good, it's a different story, and that's why you say winning attracts fans, which is just the case. But for a team that keeps getting blown out, paying good money to see them on a regular basis is why I don't blame fans for not going. So
Yeah.
yeah, moving on from that side rant, you mentioned this earlier, but you believe Corey Kispert is going to be the player most likely to get dealt at the trade deadline. I don't know if that changes. You gave me this earlier. I don't know if that changes now that he's been extended, or if it doesn't. So go ahead.
Little, just because, like when you really break it down, it's Can you really call it a team-friendly deal? Like, he's making a lot of money. And, like, for the most part, he's going to be coming off the bench for, a really good team. And if he does get traded to a contender like that, they probably already have, a guy who is their sixth man. And they're like, okay, this is a guy who's going to come in and shoot threes and score points off the bench. You know what I mean? Like, he's like your seventh guy on a really good team. So, I mean, do I think Corey gets traded as much as I did before the contract was signed? No. And I saw your answer as well, and I think that's probably where I'm leading now. So I'll throw you the lob here.
Of course, you're leaning towards my answer. My answer is Jonas Valanciunas. I even mentioned this on the pod, my free agency pod when he got signed. The Lakers make so much sense for Jonas Valanciunas that I'd be willing to go out on and give my take now that if he does get traded, it is to the Lakers because they showed interest. LeBron mentioned at USA Basketball Camp that the Lakers showed interest in a couple guys. He name dropped Valanciunas. It makes sense because I think the Lakers like playing AD at the four. If they want to do that, I mean, do you want to play Christian Wood? No, he's not good anymore. I like who do you want to play? Christian Koloko, if he's still there. You need a legit center, and that way you can play him alongside AD. And even not, if you play AD at the five, you need someone that can come in and spell Anthony Davis if he gets in foul trouble. He's gonna get hurt eventually. You need a guy that can kind of come right in. So I think Valanciunas makes sense for them. Very, very team-friendly deal, only 9.8 mil this year. 2 more years left on his deal after that, about 10 mil. And again, doesn't really fit the Wizards' timeline. So I could see a world where the Wizards brought him in to mentor Alex Sarr, kind of show him the way, and then let Sarr flourish and start once they move Valanciunas to the deadline. The only caveat is that it is a 3-year deal. They're not in a rush. It's not like it's an expiring deal like Brogdon or Tyus Jones last year. There's no rush to move him. So if they don't want to and they don't get a good deal, they don't have to. But I think that works in their favor, actually. Because with Tyus Jones, it was like, all right, I know you want a first round pick. You're going to trade him to me or you're going to get nothing for him. Whereas with Valanciunas, it's like, we don't actually have to do that. We can keep him. And eventually in the offseason or the next 2 years, we can find somebody who's going to give us a better offer. So I think the 3-year deal actually works in their favor, where some people might think it works against them. I think it actually helps. But
Yeah.
that all that together is why I think it's JV. And you said you kind of agree with that.
No. Now that Corey signed this deal and he's making some pretty good cash, I agree with you. I think Valanciunas is the pretty obvious answer. I mean, again, just because I still think he's pretty fit enough to help a contender. I mean, I know you mentioned the Lakers, but there's other, there's teams out there, when it comes down to crunch time at the end of the year, they're always looking for serviceable bigs. And he is a pretty serviceable big. And I mean, I agree with you. I think the 3-year aspect of the contract really just prolongs the window for, action on him. And it's not as rushed per se as, Tyus was last year, where you kind of feel like your back's against the wall. And it's almost like a, well, do you just get rid of him for pennies on the dollar or do you just bite the bullet? I feel like that's not really the situation here. And I think the Wizards, could come out looking pretty good after this.
And I should mention, we both do think Brogdon is probably going to get traded, but I'm a little scarred from what happened with Tyus last year. Same
Yeah.
thing with Shamet as well. So I don't think I can be blamed. I don't think Wizards fans can be blamed for being a little iffy on can the Wizards front office extract any type of value. It doesn't have to be max value. Depends, obviously, if Brogdon comes back healthy from this injury. But he's a guard that plays both sides of the basketball, can shoot the ball well. He shot 41% from three. He's kind of what you want at the deadline as a guard acquisition. And I think if he plays, he's going to play well. He's always been a consistent player. It's just, can he stay healthy? So I think if he stays healthy, plays well till the deadline, I don't see why not. I don't see why he wouldn't get traded. I mean, for me, I had we for players that we think should get traded, not who we think will get traded, who we think should get moved by February, we're both in agreement on Kyle Kuzma. You also mentioned Brogdon. But kind of take me through why you think the Wizards should move on from Kyle Kuzma now as opposed to a year down the line.
I'm just kind of done, to be honest with you. This whole experience. I mean, we've stuck with them, through minimal tattoos to lots of tattoos, from, no hair to kisses on his hair and bleach blonde. And we've always supported him, but you brought it up earlier, and I don't kind of really want to, I don't want to beat a dead horse here, but like, It's just vets taking young guys' minutes. We got wings now who are serviceable and young, and I want to see what they could do. And I don't really want to see what he can do. I know what Kyle Kuzma can do. Does he have his nights where he's on fire? Of course he does. However, does he have his nights where he can't hit, in the middle of the ocean? Yeah. And I mean, I think it's a little selfish of me as well, but I am just done with this whole like, he's your star. He is not a star. I mean, and again, I don't want you to think that I don't. He is a great basketball player, but is he the number one option on a team in the National Basketball Association? Absolutely not. Can he go to another team and can, help them win games? Of course, he's super skilled. And, he's also my answer, really, because I just don't see a world where Jordan Poole does get traded. I mean, that contract and, the skill level now, I don't see it production wise and salary wise, but. Yeah, I think Kuz goes, and I think when he does go, he gets packaged with a hopefully a Brogdon or maybe even a Blockbuster with someone like a Valanciunas. And I know a lot of people are like, well, Kuzma can't demand three firsts or anything like that back. I don't think he does anymore. I think that notion is gone. But
It's one.
yeah, it's one. But a Kuzma and Valanciunas and like you're telling me I can't get maybe a player and a first for that, maybe two firsts, like. Those are two pieces that are going to help someone win games. So that I think is the package we could be looking at. Maybe you like, I could say Kuzma and Brogdon, Kuzma and Valanciunas, Kuzma and Corey. You know what I mean? But yeah, I mean that Kuzma and Valanciunas package, if you're looking for a score and you're looking for a big, come to DC. We can help you out.
It's possible that, and I don't know if this is true, but Kyle Kuzma could have got sent to Dallas last year, and
Yeah.
they didn't pull the trigger. It's possible that he's like, look, what would happen if I got sent there? Maybe I could have helped them win a championship. I would have definitely helped them get to the finals. And maybe he's like, look, I haven't been to the playoffs in 3 years. I want to get back to that, and I kind of missed my opportunity last year. Maybe that gets them to the point where, okay, let's move on. Because what that showed me last year, the Wizards are willing to trade him. They are fully on board, even if it might only be for one first. They're fully on board, but obviously they need his approval. And it's possible that kind of that FOMO, missing out on that finals run, that could be in the cards, especially if he gets to reunite with the Lakers. I feel like it's all just going to come back to the Lakers. I feel like he's just going to get sent back there, and he's going to help them. He's a great role player, but he's not a star. And I've said this the whole time. And this has nothing to do with Kyle Kuzma personally, but like, I don't think he's a winning player as a number one or a number two option. As a number three, four, or five option, he's elite. He shoots the ball well. When he doesn't have to shoot 20 times a game, he's a great defender. And people are going to come at me for that because they've seen him play defense as a number one. You got to understand, when you're taking on the burden of an offense, when everyone's doubling you, when the whole defense is just catered towards stopping you, you're shooting 20 times a game, you're running everything. Playing defense at an elite level is not a foregone conclusion. Whereas if I'm just there to run down the floor and take the open shot, the open three, I can lock in on defense. I can play a different role than that star. And I think that's what people kind of lose with Kuzma as a Wizard versus Kuzma as a Laker. That's why the Lakers won a ring. Not the full reason, but he was an elite sixth man on that team. He was great. And I think if he can get back to being a third, fourth, fifth option, that's perfect for him. I don't think that'll ever happen on the Wizards. I think the Wizards and Kyle Kuzma both know it's probably not going to work out here with him being that top option. But in terms of why it makes sense now, like Jason said, you got a guy like Alex Starr that can move into that power forward spot right now. You don't necessarily want Kyle Kuzma to continue taking those minutes, especially if you do believe Alex Starr is a four and not a five. If you keep Kyle Kuzma for this year and then you keep until the trade deadline next year, that's pretty much a year and a half of Alex Starr being behind Kyle Kuzma when you might not have to do that. I mean, also a side note, I don't know if anyone's been to Kuz's, it's called Mahana Fresh, his restaurant. I don't know if you saw it on Sunday, but I think he paid a bunch of like these Legion Hoops accounts and stuff to just like post because he was having something at the restaurant at like five. This account Kicks came in and DMs me, and they were like, hey Greg, Kuz is going to be hanging out here. We'd love for you to post it. Is there anything else you can do? And I said money. Like I didn't know what to respond to that, but like I'm not going to post that for free. But if you haven't gone to his restaurant, I guess pop out. They wanted me to get people to go. I'm not going to post it, but I'll talk about it here. Free press.
Bro. Okay.
Yeah. So I'm sure it's nice. He's doing great things for the DC community. So if you want to pop out to Mahana Fresh, go for it. It's Kuz's restaurant. But I do think he's going to get traded. I'm talking hyping up his restaurant. I do think he's going to get traded. And I think it'll be for one first. I think the Wizards are going to settle for whatever they can get. In terms of record prediction, it's not easy to be like pretty far off with the Wizards, but like we are kind of far off because you somehow think this team is worse than last
Yeah.
year. Explain.
I just think that the focus is now, like, with Brian Keefe in charge, it's player development. And I just win. All right, here's what I'll say. Last year, what was the win total? It was 25, right? 24 and a half.
24 and a half, yeah. And I said smash the over, and I was so
Same.
wrong.
Same. Right?
Yes.
And I don't think this team got better. They got younger. They've definitely probably got more skilled, and their future is a little brighter now. But I don't think that translates to wins, unfortunately. So yes, my final record prediction is 14-68, and hopefully that secures the number one pick.
Number one, that's crazy that you think they're going to be worse than last year. I've been going down. If you listen to the pod I did right after free agency, I think I had 23 wins, and then I moved down to 21, and then I moved down to 19, and I think I've settled now. I think 18-64, and that's factoring in. I think they're going to make a lot more trades at the deadline. I think you'll see Brogdon go. Like I said, I think you'll see Kyle Kuzma go. I think Corey Kispert could be dealt. I really do believe that Valanciunas could be dealt as well, and that's four arguably your best players apart from Poole that could be gone. You saw the Wizards pretty easily lose all 14 games, I think, or 16 games last year in February, with a large chunk of that coming after the deadline. I think they maybe won three games since from the deadline last year until the end of the season. Like, this team is going to be quite bad, but I don't think they're worse than last year. I don't think they're record-setting Charlotte Bobcats bad. I do think they're really bad, though. And I think 18-64, you're still going to have the same percentage to get that top pick. And you don't really have a Detroit that I think is going to be competing against you. I think Chicago sucks. I think Brooklyn's a lot of good veterans, but like
Better than
their
us.
combination of just like, what the hell are you doing? Makes no sense. Toronto, again, what the hell are you doing? Toronto's given out like $150 million to like RJ Barrett, Jakob Poeltl, and like Emmanuel Quickley, plus they have Scottie Barnes, but like they're nowhere near good enough to do anything, and they're also nowhere near bad enough to be bad. So maybe Chicago and Brooklyn are bottom feeders, but Chicago still has LaVine, Lonzo Ball, they still have Vucevic. Like, it's the same team they had pretty much last year. They just don't have Caruso and they don't have DeMar. Brooklyn is like Schroeder, Finney-Smith. Who else they have? Ben Simmons, Cam Johnson. They still have Cam Thomas. They have a decent squad. They're terrible. They're not going to do anything, but it's a bunch of veterans compared to the Wizards who are playing their younger guys. So, like, I don't think there's much comp for the Wizards to be the worst team. I think they're going to be that on their own. I don't think you need to go out and try to lose games. They'll lose them on their own. But I do think they'll win more than last year. I got them at 18-64. To conclude, what is your hot take going into the season, Jason?
Yes, my hot take is that Alex Sarr makes an all NBA rookie team or an NBA all rookie team. I know that people think after summer league performances, like I said, that he can't catch the ball, but I think he's going to shock people. I really do. This guy was a really hyped up prospect. He had a rough start, but I'm confident, and I'm here to say on October 21st that Alex Sarr will be a star in this league for years to come. And it starts this year.
Yeah, I mean, all rookie second team. I feel like the hot take would be first team. I don't feel like second team's a hot take.
An all rookie team. Most likely second team.
Oh, the notes doc. Okay, fine. An all rookie team. I think you should go out on a limb and say first team all rookie if you're that confident.
Know what?
Go for it.
First team all rookie, Alex Sarr. There we go.
Good hot take. My hot take is Bob Carrington wins rookie of the year. I think he's going to be the best rookie. I mean, I'm doubling down on my take that he's going to be the best rookie on this team. I think he's going to be the best rookie in this league.
Wow.
Zachary Richache, like, he's good. I don't think he's going to be that great. I've seen people jump on the Zach Edey bandwagon. Zach Edey's on a great team. He's a great player. He's solid. I
Yes,
think he's
it
going to be
is.
good. But at the end of the day, like, I think Bub Carrington, if he gets the right amount of minutes, is going to impress a lot of people, especially if, you know, he eventually goes and starts at the two. If you put Bilal at the three, if you play him big minutes, I think he's good enough. The only thing that might hold him back is the fact that he's not going to start, which concerns me in terms of his like overall counting stats. But again, I think he's going to be great. I don't see why he couldn't be Rookie of the Year. So that's my hot take. I was going to say something about like the playoffs to make a joke, but I just told you they're going to go 18 and 64. So I'm not even going to try to make a joke like that. I've actually seen some people like DM me and say, like, you know, is it possible that the Wizards might make the play-in? Absolutely not. I would make a bet with
It's
anybody. I'd pay you,
possible, but no.
I'd pay anybody $100 that wants to get $100 if the Wizards somehow sneak into the play-in, and I'd be glad to do that. It would mess the entire rebuild up. The entire tank for Cooper Flagg and all these great prospects, dead, absolutely dead. But I think it would be fun. I think it'd be fun if they, like, you know, sniffed around the play-in. But that's not going to happen. They're going to be terrible. Let's be real. So that's kind of going to do it for this, you know, regular season preview podcast episode. I did one with Jason last year before the season. I don't want to even go back and listen because I think a lot of things I said were very wrong. I hope you don't go back and listen either because I said smash the over on 24 and a half wins. They got 15. I said Kuzma would get traded at the deadline. He did not. So take my predictions with a grain of salt. I don't know what Jason's were. I'm sure they were pretty similar, if not worse. So that's what we're gonna do to kind of end it here. Do you have any last parting words, any other takes that you want to get out before we go?
No, Greg, I just wanted to thank you, man. It's always an honor to come on and talk basketball with you. Looking forward to the Wizards season. Hopefully they can produce a little, Commander-esque magic that we're experiencing at the moment. Just want to shout out Jaden Daniels. You're the man. Mom and Dad, thank you guys for listening. Always appreciate you. And Greg, man, keep it up. You're the man too. You're really good at what you do. And, to everyone listening, we really appreciate you. Thank you for supporting my brother. And yeah, keep it up. He's the man.
I appreciate the glaze. Warranted. I appreciate you coming on. Always fun to talk. I mean, we always talk about it, but we're just doing it on this forum so everybody can listen to our conversations. I'll try to get my
Well,
dad
I'll get into it
on an
with
episode
him.
as well. My dad is as big of a Wizards fan as me. Very into this team, so maybe I'll see if he wants to come on as well. He's listening right now, so when he hears that,
Dad.
he'll text me. But again, thank you guys for listening. We're very close to hitting 20,000 listeners all time. We've been doing this for only a year.
Wow.
Pretty big milestone for me. So I appreciate everyone for tuning in. We're gonna start ramping up these episodes as the season gets along. Definitely gonna be doing the game recap. So I'll probably do, you know, a 3-game stretch and then do a pod about it. So, you know, ideally 2 episodes per week. Maybe it will be one, depending on how many games we have. I don't want to flood the episodes if they're not necessary or warranted, but that's kind of what I'm going to try to do throughout the season, breaking down games. Obviously, anytime there's a signing or a trade, anything like that, I'll do a breaking news emergency pod like I've been doing. But again, that's going to do it. To any of the questions that we asked, and I'll go through them one more time. Feel free to send me a DM with your ballot, with your answers to these questions, and I'm probably going to make a you know, an accumulation of them at the end of the year, and then maybe I'll do a prize or something like that for whoever gets the most right, I guess. I mean, they're subjective, but it's some of them are basically you know, prediction based. So we got breakout player, best rookie, thing you're most looking forward to, least looking forward to, who gets traded at the deadline, your record prediction, and your hottest take of the season. So you know, feel free to send me a DM with your answers to those questions. Again, I always respond to DMs, but that's gonna do it. Thank you, Jason, for coming on. It's a lot of fun. Make sure
Always.
you pop out to Marymount Saints games this year. Gonna be a great basketball squad. And yeah, that's gonna do it for this episode.
The
Thanks for
Saints.
listening as always. Go Wiz.